SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too. Monday after a Saturday, certainly at Gulfstream, that has a lot of things coming out of it. Not the least of which, Shug McGahee. Back on the stump with a player and Code of Honor's win in the Fountain of Youth, as well as everything that went on, certainly on the chart and in the race and from the beginning and pace and people making determinations on riders' decisions and the like. A interesting running of the Fountain of Youth. And I thought that, frankly, everybody that you wanted to acquit themselves well pretty much did. I don't know necessarily how it reflects precisely where they're going and their prospects on the classic trail and in the spring classics. But if you were a Hidden Scroll fan and you were excited by the opportunity that Bill Mott and Team Judmont had, you shouldn't be disappointed. You shouldn't be put off. He ran tremendous. He ran a tremendous race. Absolutely acquitted himself famously. Nothing wrong with the way things happened, and having to deal with the fast pace and the pressure from the Mejia 100-to-1 shot. I know people are carrying on that, horses like that shouldn't be allowed. Whatever. If that's what you think, that's fine. There's been horses like this running in these races forever, and certainly there's been horses like this dredged up and put into the Florida Derby. If you think that somehow the Gladiator Kings of the world are going to be pushed out, it's been the opposite. They've managed to find horses like that to fill out the Florida Derby field year after year. But I don't understand the Rosario bashing. You watch the race a couple more times. Gladiator King is done, after a half, and it is Gulfstream Park, right? Did you think they were going to go in 23-3 and 48? I mean, is 22-4 and 45-3? Those are breakneck, gutting fractions at Gulfstream, really? Okay. He ran great, and it was his second start. It was his second start, and I thought he ran terrific. Global Campaign, for those that were looking for a step forward, he was chasing. He was sitting outside, and he could have dropped anchor. He could have, if the pace was so grueling, he would have. Why wouldn't he have fallen out of it? He didn't. He got the last paycheck and you know, finished as best he could. Not a bad, I mean, Stanley Huff's not going to go forward. He wanted to get a check on where the horse is and what to do next. But I thought both of the less experienced players, Hidden Scroll and Global Campaign, both confirmed their quality. Ahead of them, Code of Honor got a absolutely terrific ride from John Velasquez. We'll talk to Shug at the bottom of the hour. And I know he was certainly delighted. But watch that ride a couple of times, because just as we thought, we said about the pace and about what Velasquez was going to have to do with Code of Honor, he was going to establish position, and he did. He immediately got about halfway, got pretty much mid-pack, and at least numerically was sitting on the chart. It says fifth, and you know, there were horses to his outside, and that was just the perfect place to watch things unfold, hold that position. Then, though, he had to, as Gladiator King backed out of it, Johnny had to come off the rail and gets around him, then goes back to the rail, and then comes back out again. And, you know, one thing I haven't heard that many people talk about Code of Honor, you know, kind of drifting out at pretty abruptly in front of Vekoma. Vekoma didn't necessarily, he didn't impede him per se, but that's also not the greatest way for a horse to, you know, to have to have somebody, you know, cross in front, and even if Manny Franco has to raise his shoulders and lean back a stride, didn't help Vekoma. Vekoma, very, it seemed to me, Vekoma, if you watch Vekoma, and I know people are wondering about, you know, how easy it's going to be for George Weaver to keep him going. They're talking about the way he quote unquote paddles, and it doesn't have the smoothest action per se, but he kind of just grinds along one paced, Vekoma. And he should be fine coming out of this. Good way to start his 3-year-old season. Then you had Bourbon War flying late, and I know that everybody's nothing wrong with his performance, obviously, and a very good second, beaten ultimately, you know, a diminishing length, three quarters, but. The tendency right now is for everybody to, wait till he gets to 9 furlongs. This was really, you know, a very solid chance for Bourbon War. I mean, everybody's talking about, what a tremendous pace there was. Well, then shouldn't a Bourbon War, if it was such a furious pace, shouldn't that have been the setup that Bourbon War needed? But an excellent next step for him as his second start of the year. Mark Hennig and partners and the Bourbon Lane team and Lake Star. So Code of Honor, and I ended up trying to use six. I was a little, you got a little too clever on the ticket building front, when it came to the pick four and the pick five at Gulfstream. But, and we'll get to that, but, you know, this was a 95 buyer, so, a solid, not a glowing, spectacular prep if you're scoring at home on the performance figure side. But solid, very just, and I think that was the conclusion pretty well drawn over the last, 24, 36 hours. We'll talk to Shug. I know he was delighted, but certainly Johnny made a big difference in this result. And this campaign so far this year feels like, as Code of Honor, snaps back to a much better effort, obviously, than his return try in the Mucho Macho Man, where you really, you know, you really had to wonder. I mean, wasn't that the storyline that we were all, you know, chewing with on so many of these horses, that we're going to have to take either a next step, or, you know, take the opportunity to establish themselves here, you know, in the first 2 months of the 3-year-old season. So, Code of Honor, he does that and does it at a price that his backers had to be delighted with. $21 Win Mutual. And by the way, speaking of the Win Mutuals, game builder performance from Nick, building that ticket, that 3x2x6, and that ticket very successful, and a lot of players, you know, that was almost a 200 for a buck. The try paid 97 and change for 50 cents. So close to 200 for a buck. And then the double, because, of course, Zulu Alpha did prove out. And Melnick, I tell you, Melnick ran a tremendous race to just miss chasing Zulu Alpha to the wire, and ran very, very well for Kevin Attard. But great job by Nick, and I know a lot of players, especially after Jaywalk's miscue. And, you know, Jaywalk kind of fits that. I started to reference some of the toe stubbing that's gone on so far this year with horses coming back. And, you know, the conversation about that one gap in Jaywalk's. I know Johnny, we were with Johnny, and Tina and I were in Philadelphia for the weekend, and we were with Johnny and Gail on Saturday. And we'll talk to Johnny, obviously, at the top hour, too. And Johnny said that he hates when there's any hiccups on these paths, on these Derby and Oak, the roads to glory. And there was that little gap in Jaywalk's preparations. And John Service, he shrugged it off and said he hopes certainly that she needed it. And it's funny, a seven-letter name starts with J, Jeltren. if you were expecting that kind of a name, it wasn't Jeltren that you expected. And the funny thing about it is, in that Devona Dale, if Jaywalk was going to stub her toe and not be ready and fall short and not fire, then really any of the others, there was, I'm sorry, I maybe some people somehow were convinced of something that isn't readily apparent, but virtually that whole field, any of them could have won. And, you know, from a fig standpoint, and, you know, stylistically, once Jaywalk failed to, you know, reach the front, and you realized there's going to be an upset here, any of them could have won. So congratulations. Alexis Delgado, yet another of the army of Venezuelan horsemen, and we'd love to have him. We'd love to have him on, but his English is not good. So no bueno. And so we'll congratulate Alexis Delgado, the Tapizar filly. She was really good, and you know, having Luis Saez right now, you can't really go wrong either. Saez just powering everything home. Really, really riding spectacularly well. And he picked up the, a rare, how about that case? The organ giving us a hiccup. So, yeah. nuts. I think we've worn that out after 15 years of playing. But what a nice win this is for Delgado, who, you know, has got a handful of horses, and I don't know a whole bunch. But, yeah, he's been winning, you know, 8, 9, 10% for a couple of years, and it's obviously a big breakthrough win. And she ran. I mean, don't kid yourself. She ran. Jeltrin. And from a purchase standpoint, this was a $7,000 Keeneland Yearling. She broke her maiden at Calder for $50, but then has been, you know, keeping good company. And she was only beaten two lengths in the forward gal. You know, it's not like, you know, she was beaten two poles. And pretty good effort. So those were the three-year-old main track events. The rest of the day, was, for the most part, you know, the two Chad Brown winners. And as Mike Welch had suggested, that Cambier Park, he made his best bet. She was very good. And then, of course, I think we all kind of expected Precious in the Honey Fox, confidently handled by Javier Castellano. That valedictorian ran very well for Kelly Brain to be second. You had A Thread of Blue, just as suggested. Kieran will join us tomorrow. He's tied up today. But A Thread of Blue didn't have to have the lead either. That, an interesting development. If he's going to be rateable to that extent, he's going to be tough. Terrific effort by our friend Lee Einsiedler's Casa Creed. And a little bit more forwardly placed. Wasn't left with as much to do. And chased Thread of Blue home. So, nice effort there. His second start of the year. He's going to be fun for Lee and Bill Mott for the summer. Mott for Bill Chatine. The homebred. The Shakespeare gelding Krampus. It was a mild enough upset. Beat Shug, breaking the rules. I was trying to get CM Riep. I thought maybe CM Riep at a price was going to be able to tiptoe around. And that wasn't the case. I mentioned Recruiting Ready, the win for Stanley Huff and Sagamore. Stanley got an appointment this morning. Catch up with him tomorrow. And Global Campaign did grab a quarter. So he's going to take some time. And I think Stanley's just as happy to have that development unfold the way it did. Jimmy Jerkins, Holy Helena, who we fully expected in the very one. And then there was those maiden performances. Identifier, you know, who you knew was going to break his maiden some point, but he did it on Saturday for Navarro and Geffenstein and partners. He was very solid, just, you know, went around, and nobody really challenged him. He ran very even fractions. And that Serenitsa for Mikhail Yanikov and Olympia Star, back on the grass and a winner. Let's take a break. We'll come back, get the rest of the weekend news before we start talking to Winning Connections.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breads on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put your blame on me.
We're back at the races. 20 minutes with that little extended exit coming out of the opener. And you know, I'll stay at Gulfstream for 1 second because yesterday, actually, there was a lot going on Sunday. You know, sometimes after the big day, the Sunday action is a little sedate, but there were some interesting things happening, including actually Chad Brown, a big part of it too, because there was that maiden winner, Dunbar Road. Looks like a nice filly, the Quality Road filly, bred by Jeff Drown and Peter Brandt, and this is a main track player, and of course Brandt with so many nice horses on the turf, but had a long lead up to this debut, and was a $350,000 Keeneland yearling, and looked awfully good, easily drew off going a mile. So keep an eye on Dunbar Road. And there was also a win for Chad and for Seth Klarman with the return of Super Committee and second start under Chad's care. And, of course, Super Committee handled originally by Rick Violette for Seth Klarman. And so that obviously always... you know, always a little sad, and the handful of horses that are out and about that the late Rick Violette handled, and also Identity Politics came back from the Malibu placement and got beat, but it just a tune up for the Carter, and ran okay, just got beat on the square by a Marcus Vitale. Cross Sabres runner, Be Gone Daddy. And there was also, when we talked to Shug, got a bunch to talk up to Shug about, because he actually has had a couple of wins since we met with him in January. But personal time, the Orb sibling broke his maiden yesterday. And Shug finally had to move him over to the grass. And that had been, you know, that had been kind of hinted at along the way. So he goes over to the turf and promptly breaks his maiden. So we'll see what's next. But the four-year-old Orb brother. And there was also McPeak won with a horse that I thought looked good on the front end, that on the turf. Lemniscate. And Wire to Wire under Brian Hernandez Jr. And of course, you know, there was also, I don't actually, do I have that chart? There was the Hubbub, of course, in the eighth. There was a few different Hubbubby topics to talk about, including the placing judges with the miscue at Delta on Saturday in the first. I got to slip that in. Delta actually went into their pocket and did everything they could to take care of players as best they could after the photo was called wrong. And I want to mention the late action at Gulfstream. Gulfstream 14 on Saturday, came back with 13 yesterday. That Soldado came back for Todd Pletcher, if you were keeping tabs on him. And after the impressive maiden win, he kind of dawdled a little bit here, and he was left with a little bit too much to do. And Final Jeopardy, I thought, took a step forward, and he's been okay for Gary and Mary West and Jason Service. You know, won at First Asking in December, you know, then tried that Limehouse, the restricted stake, and was third behind Seismic Jolt, who's actually come back, I think, and has subsequently... Didn't he? I think he won a stake, Seismic Jolt. But Final Jeopardy, a little freshened, got a little, you know, 45 days off or so, and under Rat Ortiz wins that allowance race. So Soldado, if you were hoping for a step forward from him. So there was a lot going on, obviously, and you know, going back to Friday on the allowance front, we'll have to talk about Nolo Contesto as well. And when we talk to John White later, Nolo Contesto and Roadster's return. Roadster, very good. Very good. And I thought Nolo Contesto, after Desmond scratched, I figured, well, this gives Nolo Contesto, you know, maybe this tilts the scales in his direction. Sadler was not put off, and they're going to make a decision about where he's going to get his stake try. But it was Roadster who came back and ran well, earned a solid fig, and Baffert's first inclination for him is to stay at home for the Santa Anita Derby. So Roadster is going to get a chance, for those of you that are trying to follow him. And then, of course, since we came full circle around to Santa Anita here, there's plenty of other things to talk about, including Mattoli's nice kickoff to the year. Impressive allowance win at Oaklawn on Saturday. But the Santa Anita, they've already canceled for Thursday. There's going to be apparently another round of rain and heavy rain into Wednesday. And so they're going to, you know, continue to try to just be as cautious and prepared as they can be. You had things resume, and you had another horse on Saturday go wrong. And I just, as we said, you can test the track all you want, and you can give it an all clear, and you can check the base and the composition, and it's no matter what is going on, you have, you know, that risk that just doesn't, it's not, the risk isn't, it's not going away. So, you know, obviously the alarm bells are out, and, you know, under a microscope. And frankly, it's hard. It's very hard for everybody, I imagine, to operate. And, you know, you are always vigilant, but it doesn't prevent, you know, vigilance and all the planning and every element here. It doesn't guarantee, yeah, that there's not going to be incidents. It's just not. So, you know, Tim Ritvo, and they can, they're saying the right things. I mean, you don't, you can't, I don't know what more they're going to be able to do. And the weather continues to be difficult on everybody. Although I'll mention, you know, without, you're not trying to, you know, specifically point any fingers at anybody, but they ran at Los Al. This happened to, you know, watch on Saturday night. As mentioned, we were with Johnny and Gail, and you know they were dealing, you know, they're dealing with it too. So it you do feel like that at some level there's something that, you know, no matter how you evaluate the main track, that there's something that's making it more difficult on horses that are potentially vulnerable. And, you know, the other end, as we learned in New York, however long ago now it is, I mean, I think probably six years ago, I think it was 2011, you know, you can do what, you do what you can on the track side. But then on the other side, when it comes to the veterinarian staff, you double down your pre-race evaluations. And you know, that's something that has really helped in certainly in New York, where, you know, any horse that, you know, seems to have any hint of an issue is taken out and has to pass a vet. You know, same thing with horses that, you know, that pull up funny and pull up bad, and they have to pass the vet the next time and go on the vet list. So it's a multi-pronged effort, without a doubt. You know what, Case, let's stay here because we lost a few minutes, and let's reach for Shug, and we'll have our conversation with him while we're reaching for Claude Ray. A couple of other things from the ovals. Mentioning New York, that was an exciting Bernardini, and I was watching with interest, and certainly was rooting for Gary, and hit it once more. I'll freely admit, and he ran terrific the mile and 5/8 in the Bernardini. But Royal Albert Hall, Junior Alvarado, who's riding very well this winter, and Alvarado for Rob Atrus and the drawing away team, timed it perfectly and corralled, hit it once more in deep stretch, wins that Bernardini. For those of you that were playing the Aqueduct Oaklawn cross-country pick five, for the first time it went very chalky. And I think, 159? Something like that. And the, you know, the two races from New York, actually Royal Albert Hall paid 880, which kind of helped, because then you had the favorite, It's All Relevant. Feels like he's been around forever. It's All Relevant for Linda Rice. And, he paid 440, and Mitole, two to five. So that started the Oaklawn sequence, and good to get Mitole back. If they can keep him healthy, he'll be terrific this year. Amy's Challenge again, and what a nice filly she is for the Novogratz team, and Mac Robertson. Alex Ganchari aboard, wins the Spring Fever, and then you had about a 5-1 shot win that ninth, and so fairly modest return for the first time in the cross country sequence. Saturday is going to include Aqueduct, and of course you got the Gotham coming and more, and then Tampa, as well as Oakland. So three tracks involved in that pick five on Saturday. Shug McGahee joins us after the Fountain of Youth win. Code of Honor snaps back, and in his second start as a three-year-old, captures the Fountain of Youth. Shug, congratulations to you and Mr. Farish.
Thank you, Steve. That was fun.
I saw a couple people say any classic trail, any run up to the any Derby trail is made better when Shug's on it.
I agree with him. I like being on it too. It's an exciting time when you got a horse like Code of Honor, and for Mr. Farish, it's fun having a nice horse for him. And we're looking forward to what the next couple of months bring.
No doubt. And before we talk about Saturday and what's ahead, let's talk about the aftermath of the Mucho Macho Man. And you came away, a little miffed and a little frustrated. And there's been a lot of this from a lot of horsemen this winter, bringing horses back, and they end up being a little surprised that their horse was a little shorter than they thought. What was your postscript after the seasonal debut?
Well, I felt like just what you said. I was a little bit disappointed, not only in what I saw in the race, but kind of maybe that I hadn't done enough, and maybe his little temperature took a little more out of him than I thought. So I just decided I was going to have to turn the page and just train him like you'd regularly train one, and make his works a little steadier than maybe they were, and see if he took it, and he needed to fill out and develop a little bit, and he seemed to do that somewhat with the training, and he took the training, and John went up there a couple times and worked him, and he seemed to be pleased with him, and all systems seemed to be go, and we were looking forward to running him on Saturday, and I had a bit of a game plan in my head that was that I wanted him to be back and I wanted to be patient. We got a great scenario with the pace, and with one post we got to save the ground going around the first turn and kind of going down the backside, and then when he sort of pushed the button on him, there was a few horses that were stopping. We had to kind of go in and out, but all that was good too. He took the dirt really well, and I think we were all pretty pleased with what we saw. John felt like that. Once he made the lead, he started waiting on horses a little bit, which would be kind of normal for a horse only making his fourth start, basically only his third, because you can throw that Mucho race out. And seemed to come out of it good, so we'll see what happens.
You said a couple of things interesting to Jay Privman, and part of this was the nimble nature of the horse, the way Johnny handled him, getting some early position, asking him to establish himself, then settling, then having to come off the rail to pass the tiring Gladiator King, brings him back inside, and then kicks him back again for the rally in the stretch. And you said he's a nifty little horse. Does that part of it, the fact that he's not a big strapping type, is that one of the things you think looking back that you didn't really lean on him because he's not the kind of horse that if you lean on too hard, you're gonna tuck him up?
Well, obviously that was what my thinking was, and I was afraid to, really be too hard on him and look like I didn't have anything left. Horse-wise, but he is a... So I said to him the other day, he's a very efficient little horse. He's got a very efficient way of moving and a way of handling himself. I was reading one of those things Steve Haskins wrote the other day about, the horses in there and their works leading up to the Fountain of Youth. And that's one of the things that he was mentioning was that, in his work, it was like an effortless work just because of the way he moves. and there's not a lot of wasted action. And, you know, he sets himself really well. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that is going to help him as we go down the line. You know, that he can, as we saw Saturday, you know, I mean, one horse stopped in front of him. We had to maneuver, and then he dropped him back to the rail, as you said, and looked up, and another horse was stopping, so we had to go here and there. And he took all that. And, you know, I think that's one of the things, you know, as we go along, that he's going to have to be able to, well, any horse is going to have to be able to do. One is going to be able to take the dirt, and one, they have to be able to take a little bit of adversity, as you know, as we all know, because, you know, especially in the bigger fields and stuff, it's not going to all go real easy.
One of the things that we always talk about when we get at least the Derby, and I suppose in a mile and an eighth is a long enough race too to impact this. Well, any distance, but when you've got a big horse with a big stride and they get into trouble, you know, it's one of the challenges. Certainly at Derby, you know, one of the challenges when a horse gets interrupted and has to steady. If they're a big horse, it takes them might take them a 16th of a mile to get back in full flight. When you got a horse like this, when they have trouble, they can pretty much, you know, in a beat or two, you know, get back into stride, and that's an advantage that a small horse has versus a big horse.
Well, no doubt about it. You know, that's what I say. He's very efficient in what you do with him. You know, if you do have to get him stopped, he's going to get started pretty quick, I think. You know, where with a big horse, sometimes, I mean, you hear the riders come back all the time saying, you know, I kind of had to keep him on the outside because the last thing I want to do is get stopped because we have a hard time getting going again. And, you know, if you're lucky enough to make the Derby, there's going to be 20 in there and there's going to be a lot of maneuvering around, and you're going to have to be able to have a horse and a rider knows how to maneuver around. And that's one of the good things I feel about it, is I think we've got a horse that can maneuver around, and we've definitely got a jockey that can maneuver around.
Well, this was a very good reversal, and it did seem like he was, you know, he was the horse that had to answer a question and did so with authority. You mentioned Shug in the postscript to this, that, you know, if everything goes well from here on, that the Florida Derby, take the same route you took with Orb, but if he needs an extra week, you would bring him back to New York. But it seems like you want to stay and hope that things go well for the end of the month.
Well, we're only an hour and a half down the road. We do have an extra week if we were to go to Wood or Bluegrass. You know, you've got Mr. Perkins are pretty heavy, but he'll leave it all up to me, and, you know, we're just going to see how things work out as the next week or so goes on and how he comes out of it. And so you know, as you know with this, when you're fooled with this kind of stuff, you can't really let a straw get in your path and you got a problem. And you know, so we'll try to keep him where we don't get a straw in our path.
I love it. I love it. Well, this was certainly a fun lead up. There was a lot of interesting things going on, and you know, I started the conversation about the Fountain of Youth this morning, Shug, saying that pretty much everybody, I thought, acquitted themselves well. I mean, it, when you look at that order of finish, I mean, the inexperienced horses, Stan Huff, you know, with Global Campaign, and the second-time starter from Judd Mont and Bill Mott, absolutely ran a courageous race, and I think you had a very pretty satisfying running of this.
Well, I agree with you, Steve. I think that you'll look up and when we look up at Saratoga time or next fall or something, you're going to look back at the Fountain News and say, you know, this was a pretty pivotal race. When you've got Mark's horse ran a really good race, and, you know, I mean, Hidden Scrolls up against it, you know, making a second start, you know, with that kind of a pace. And, you know, the horse of George Weaver, Smescott, man, ran a really, really good race. So I think, you know, barring anything happening, then all those horses are going to be horses that we're going to look up and say, look at them. And Stan's horse, I see where he grabbed himself. They're going to give him a little time. But, you know, obviously he's a very talented horse. And, you know, there's going to be some others come out of that race, or, you know, look like he'll be okay too. You know, I think Epic Dreamer's better than what he ran the other day. And so I think that, like I say, I think when we look up a little bit later on down the line, we're going to say, boy, that was a pretty good race.
Well, and in fact, when we, as we get closer here toward the end of the winter season at Gulfstream, it feels like we're going to look up and say this has been a pretty good winter for the McGahee barn. And we'll talk about some of the other recent maiden winners. You've been winning, you know, races on a regular basis this winter, Shug. Let's talk about some of the runners from Saturday that various degrees of success. Felix the Fox, it's going to break his maiden real soon. And you know, this is a horse I've been sort of tracking. And you put the blinkers on. He's still kind of dawdled early. It feels like he's just a better trip away from getting a diploma.
Well, I think he ran good the other day. You know, I mean, he didn't break well. Then he got shuffled back, too, after he didn't break well. And so we were back there, and, you know, Joel let him run up down the backside to sort of get him in position. And, you know, down here over this track, you just can't really make a very premature move like that. But I think he'll get out of it what I want him to get out of it. You know, we gave him a little time off after he ran an aqueduct, and, you know, I think he's matured some from it. You know, he kind of looked to me the other day like sort of a typical looking Tappet colt, and you know, that I've seen, not that I've had that many of them, but I watch, you know, some of Asmussen, who does have quite a much at Saratoga, and you know, I'm looking forward to running him back, and you know, I think he'll be a decent horse as we go along over the summer.
You figure Keeneland for him?
Yeah, there's a race at Keeneland not too far down the road, going a mile and 3/16, I think. I thought it might maybe be really a good spot for him.
Very good. And of course, the two stake runners, breaking the rules, that had to be a little bit frustrating to get beat in that Canadian.
Well, of course, we were disappointed, but I was also proud of effort. I thought he really ran good. I don't think, you know, we knew it. I ran, and I both talked about it in the paddock, said, you know, there isn't any speed in here. And you know, Johnny got away with what he gets away with so well, and that was sort of keeping the pace at the way he wanted. And, you know, sort of pretty much was a sprint the last part of it. And he got the jump on us, and we just weren't able to catch up, you know. And the holes were ahead, separated them, and, you know, they ran the last quarter mile 22-1. You know, so I think breaking the rules stretched out is going to help him a little bit more. And, you know, maybe, you know, where he can be maybe back just a little bit farther. But, you know, we were disappointed. We lost, but we weren't disappointed in effort by any means. And, you know, the winner was a tough little horse. I knew
about
I was
dancing?
Probably
yeah.
In trouble when Mott got beat in the race before, just got beat with Velasquez. I knew, I said, this might not happen two times in a row. It didn't.
Well, Danceland, of course, in the very one as well. Overall, though, a nice weekend, because yesterday, Shug, personal time breaks through, and the Orb brother, you moved him to grass, and I don't know if he was, if it made all that much of a difference, but he did win. You know, he certainly had run races on the main track that, you know, that he could have won as well, but it gets it done yesterday.
Well, we worked him up a pace on the turf, and he worked well, and I kept putting him in on the dirt, and the races weren't filling, so I had another horse I was going to run in that race yesterday, bail out, and, you know, I don't think he's really taken to this track that well, you know, so I just reversed positions and ran personal time, and you know, it ended up working out at the end, you know, going down the backside. I didn't think it was going to work out. But, you know, he looks like a horse that's going to like the grass, but we can also, if it comes off or short field or something somewhere on the line, I sure wouldn't be afraid to run him back on the dirt again. But I do think he probably is a bit better on the grass. Why, I can't tell you, but seems to be.
Well, nice to get him a win, though, and we'll watch and see how you place next. And speaking of placing next, I didn't reach out to you when Inspector Lindley won the Tampa Bay, but of course we got the Hillsborough coming up on Saturday. What else are you sending over to Tampa for Festival Day?
He's going to go to New Orleans to run in the Mutants, I think.
Okay.
I don't really have any plans to run anything over there this weekend. You know, I mean, I'd like to be a nice spot, but right now we're on kind of hold for a little bit. You know, we've ran quite a bit down here. And, you know, I think you were talking about Dance Land. I think, you know, I was a little bit disappointed in her effort the other day. It's hard to catch up over this track. And, I mean, Johnny said he thought when he swung her outside that she would probably get there, but like I say, it's hard to catch up, and I think that you know, probably getting her off this turf course is probably going to help her. Where that's going to be, I'm not sure yet, but probably maybe at Belmont in the in that race. Hell, I can't think of the name of it, but the Philly race, if you, I think it run on maybe on Derby Day, but and something like that, I think will help her. You know, maybe we're the turf's not quite as hard. It's got a little give to it, and you know, our horse got a little more chance to catch up. And so we'll see from there. But you know, looking forward to Inspector Lindley going to New Orleans. Be kind of a step up for him going a mile and eight. Well, it'll help. You know, I mean, I'm looking forward to getting him stretched out some, and you know, maybe even father later on where he maybe can place himself in a race really good. I mean, I think that Jose's learned how to ride him now, and, you know, was a little more aggressive with him coming out of the gate at Tampa, and that's what we plan on doing to, you know, where he's not giving up so much to where he can't catch up.
Let's catch up on some of the recent maiden winners, Shug, because you've had a nice steady beat the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. Cover Model, Fast Talking, and Passing Out all broke their maidens. And what kind of plans are you laying out?
Well, Cover Model, there's a mile race at Keeneland for her, the lounge race that I'll probably try to run her in. Fast Talking as well. You know, he's a high-energy horse. Probably right now I'm going to keep him at sprinting until, you know, maybe get settled down a little bit to where, you know, he can relax in his races a little better. And passing out, I don't know, her future's in front of her. I think she's a very talented filly that we've always liked. I had her ready to run way before, and she hit the gate, going to break out of the gate at pacing, and she kind of nose touched the gate and it opened up, so that fouled that up for a while. But I thought she ran really well the other day, and you know, I think that the farther she goes, the better it's going to be. So I hope that you know, we can get some sort of a race into him, whether it be a stake or a non-winners or two, and then, you know, if she keeps going the right way, maybe hopefully we can participate in the 3-year-old stakes in New York over the summer.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, given that she wins at First Asking, is a daughter of Orb, and that I thought was really encouraging. You know, the way in which she did it, and it definitely offered, you know, plenty of upside. If people, this was the nightcap last weekend, and last. Was it last? It must have been last Saturday, I think. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly excited.
We were pleased with it too. I like the way she did it. I like the way she packed it all day. I like the way she placed herself in the race, and then obviously she finished up really well. And I think that all things going forward, that she could have a big future in front of her.
Yeah, and I was curious, you know, how aggressive you might be. Too late to think of, you know, kind of a rush to get her to an Oaks type of an assignment.
Well, that would be a nice thought. I have thought about that, but I do think she probably is better on the turf, and you know, I think unless something were to happen differently, I will keep her there, and hopefully, like I say, be able to participate in, you know, the those two races I got at Belmont for three-year-old fillies, and then,
yeah,
you know, I love the those couple races at Saratoga, and you know, they still got them. When we come back, you got the Sands Point back in Belmont. They're all races that I hold in pretty high esteem, and you know, I'd sure like to have her ready for those.
And you know, this is the dam party now. You know, the Tisnow mare, and she half to criminologist. It's kind of interesting that and you had the turf kind of just in your mind from the start, I suppose.
Not necessarily, but you know, then again, we worked her up at she's worked fine on the dirt, but we worked her up at Payson Park on the turf, and she seemed to take to that a little bit better with her pedigree. You know, Orb is getting some horses that can run on the grass, and Party Now ran on the grass. It's sort of a little bit of a grass pedigree, so you know, that's why I decided to start her out, and you know, and it worked out, and I hope it works out down the line. But you know, believe me, if she was ever in a race and they would take it off the grass, I wouldn't have any problem with it.
Now, passing out, cover model, fast talking. There's been a bunch of allowance wins as well. Our friend John asking Shug for updates on three others. Let me run them by you. Unveiling, Top Seed, and Baker's Day.
Unveiling is going to run this Saturday at Gulfstream, 7/8 on the dirt. Top Seed and Baker's Bay are both working. Taysom Park, Baker's Bay will probably make his first start at Keeneland, and Top Seed will probably make his first start at Aqueduct in April.
Wow, and Unveiling, yeah.
They worked together on Saturday at Payson. They both worked out of the gate. You know, it's just, you know, they've still got about another month, 6 weeks of training in front of them, but that'll lay them right both into, you know, the middle of April, and that'll work out perfect.
Well, and Unveiling, I'm going to take a rooting interest because, as you might remember, it feels like forever ago. But this is out of Streaker, kind of a personal favorite. And I can remember us talking. If I'm not mistaken, Shug, Streaker was the filly where we uncovered the famous Shug McGahee 7/8 debut. That right? Wasn't she the one?
Could have been, yeah.
And you and I talked about it, and I said when Shug starts them at 7/8, he's tipping his hand that they're ready and they're gonna fire. And she was terrific. So I'm looking forward to Unveiling.
You'll be in there on Saturday.
I love it. Well, Shug, as always. Well, and it's been a great winter. I mean, you got to be delighted with the way the horses have been firing.
Yeah, no, we've been, you know, not surprised, but we've been happy with the way the winter's gone. And you know, I think we got a lot done. We've been through, you know, we've gotten kind of shifted around some of the horses that didn't look like they were going to do in New York, and got a few more of those to go. And then, you know, also we got, you know, some mains broke, and we got a lot, you know, we've had a wonderful winter weather-wise down here, so we haven't really lost any time. And so the weather's been good, and I've been able to, you know, get some horses ready to run. Inspector Lindley's got a sister that's named Inspector Havers that's about ready to run. We'll make her first start either the end of the month here or first of Aqueduct. If there's a spot for there, if not, I know there's one at Keeneland. So, you know, there's a lot of things around that, you know, to look forward to. Just knock on wood, we can keep everybody in the wagon.
Well, and of course, the most right now, the most pressing thing to look forward to is the next steps as we move ahead from Fountain of Youth, Code of Honors win, the Son of Noble Mission, and for Mr. Farish and for Shug and Johnny, certainly, you know, certainly a terrific step forward. Shug, I appreciate this as always. Best of luck, and we'll catch up soon. We'll see you soon. I'll be down for Florida Derby, actually.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Always terrific. Shug McGahey, everybody. And, I mean, there's so many interesting and terrific horses to talk about in his barn every time we visit. Let's take a break. Top of the hour upon us. Johnny D standing by, and I got the opportunity to talk directly with Johnny to thank him again. He and Gail had Tina and I over on Saturday night, and we got to see where the magic happens, the nerve center. Johnny D, Mission Control. And let me tell you, Johnny's got something going. He's got, it's quite something. Be hard-pressed not to give you the tour. Verbally. We had so much fun. Back after this, Johnny D.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfertello. Please visit us at pabred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.